Welcome, Reading Finney's Wake Forum on Facebook. This is Bob and Ion, and we're looking into episode 38, which will become page 38 in our repagination of Finney's Wake. And this brings us to page 272, about one-third down, line 9. And we're going to go into 273 and probably over 274. So it starts off, dark ages clasp the daisy roots. Stop if you are a Sally of the Allies, hot off minnow wars and naval actiums, picked engagements and banks of rowers. Please stop if you're a BC-minding missy, please do. But should you prefer AD steeplies, and if you miss with a venture, it serves you girly well glad. But holy Janet,
Whoa, slow down. We were going to stop you on the first sentence. But you were doing so good, you actually were saying all the good words. You were pronouncing the words good today, Bob. It must be good. You've had your electrolytes today. That must be good for
yes.
you. Okay, now look, picture it. Here's what's happening now. We're trying to set the stage. What the you've heard the glib, cliché-ical archetype of someone's pushing up daisies, meaning they're dead. So this is the beginning of those, what you call dark ages. Bob's been desperately waiting on people to actually start dying. And so, boy, that's looking on the bright side. That's looking on the sunny side of life, isn't it? So now we're starting to begin the dark ages. They clasp the daisy roots. And you're supposed to say, now you got to decide who's on the Lord's side. Now, this is the Sally of the Allies. You got to figure out who the Minowars are and the naval actiums. That's where the different branches of the government are going to have to sort out to whom they are loyal. No, it's to whom they are connected to. No, to whom they are serving. Yes, to serve in the service. Good. Okay. So now you got to pick it out. And then you have banks of rowers. This is a different thing because they've got pickled engagement. And see, the banks of rowers, that's when the ones in the old money, those in the new money. Because see, what Bob didn't tell you, Bob did tell you that there was going to be one new currency. And that was going to be based on what? RNA drops. And that's ridiculous. But now all of a sudden, it's not ridiculous. All of a sudden. So it's kind of fun. So you got to find out what BC means and AD means. You see, you got to watch out. Watch out. Bob, what do you think BC means?
Bob and Connie.
Okay. And what do you think AD means?
That's my brother, Albert Dobbs.
Oh, Albert. You're going to bring Albert into this. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. Okay. Do you see the little... Okay, before you go in, you got to do the sidebars, but we got to figure this out right here. Over here on the side, you have those little notes. Those little quarter notes. Do you see them over there, Bob? And the treble.
Yeah, they put fa sol la. Is that fa sol la?
No. Look at what are those notes? Can you read music? You can do everything else.
No, I can't do that. I don't.
Sorry, sorry about that. They say every good boy does fine, and F A C E. Can you count down from the top? We won't take the whole time to do that. We'll just get somebody in to figure that out because we're going to have to get.
It says F A C E. It says F A.
The spaces F-A-C. Are F-A-C. The spaces are F-A-C-E. And the lines are every good boy does fine. Mm. E-G. So you can see. So the second one would be A. Right?
Yeah.
And the fourth one would be F.
Yeah.
Right? And the third one would be C.
What?
And... C.
Death? What'd you say the third one was?
The third one would be C. F-A-C-E.
C. Okay.
But C. Right. Okay, and the first one is on the line. So that would be every good B, boy. So B, A, C, F. Got it?
Yeah, that's a tape cassette company in the 70s or 80s. BASF, I used to buy a lot of those.
Oh, okay, nice. Okay, So now, the rub now we're talking about, the whole point of those letters that you got all tangled up, is the reference to the steeplechase at the race. You see, because now, there's going to be a little bit more there, but we don't want to spoil the plot. But you can see the plot's building as we speak. Okay, go ahead, Bob.
Well, do I read beside, the beside part?
Not yet.
Pretty big statement.
Not yet.
Okay.
Wait, you haven't got to that part yet. You got to read a little bit more before you do that.
Okay. Please stop if you're a BC minding missing. Please do. But should you prefer AD steeplies, and if you miss with a venture, it serves you girly well glad. But holy Janus, I was forgetting the Blitzenkopf's. Here, Hengex and Horsas, take your heads out of that tail tub and leave your henny-henny hind you. It's haunted. The chamber of earrings. Wound, tug, trace, stirrup. It is distinctly understuttered that, since you three hands highs, put your 2 foot large time pates in that dead wash of Loch Murph, and until such time pace one, and the same messern, the grinning statesman, Brock and Leon, have shunted the grumbling counditutes, Starlin and Sir Archer Guinness. Fomus, homely brew.
Now I DC. Okay. We got a lot to say about that. You got to look here. The Starlin, who does that refer to, buddy?
Starlings. Where's that word? I don't see the
Starling
word.
Starling is like the one you just read. Sir Arthur Guinness.
Starling. That's some girlfriend Starlin. Of his. An opera singer.
No, Bob. No. That refers to Russia. Stalin.
Okay.
To the Putin regime.
Stalin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Versus MI6.
Correct. That's exactly correct. And see, you got to watch out because everything is haunted. Because now you find out, you figure out that things are all tangled up. You figure out that the little actor in the Ukraine that everybody just loves, all of a sudden is a baddie in this whole process. Because remember the billion dollar baby? Where your president, the sitting President of the United States of the fucked up America canceled a $1 billion line of credit because so they wouldn't do certain things or would do certain things to not investigate the Biden bribe family. This is that problem because they're three hands high and 2 foot large. The time takes because of this dead wash that's coming in. So they're going to pace one without the other. And now you got to see, because there's all kinds of problems. Everybody's grumbling. You blew up my country. You sank my battleship. You blew up my country. You blew up all my... Well, we don't want to say that. Well, they blew up some stuff. That was pretty important. Okay, now you can go to the panoptical purview on the sidebar, Bob. Now we're going to fill in a little bit more, because this is kind of a full onslaught information. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, 40 years ago, Nelson and I used to always say this on CKLN. At a profound pause in the conversation, some would have meaning flow over them, and we'd say, panoptical purview of political progress and the future presentation of the past. That's what we were doing back there.
And that's what you're seeing happen, take place right here, right now. And that's why it's so fun that they wouldn't use Putin, they'd use Stalin. Now, were Sterling awake, he'd be all giddy as a schoolgirl because now he's trying to figure out something that the Nazis really do run the world or something. We don't know. He's gone sort of full tilt lately.
He's our resident expert on Stalin. Sterling is.
Right. Correct.
Great scholar on Stalin.
Now, here you kind of go.
Sterling.
But holy Janus.
72. Sterling made the book.
Yeah. He made the book. Don't tell nobody, though. It'll hurt his feelings. You know, he likes to have everybody to be the same and nobody to have anything. So as long as everybody has nothing, he's happy. As long as everybody has equally nothing, he's all happy. That's funny. Except for the Politburo that doles out the rolls of candy that we're all so fond of, you see. Okay, but Holy Janus, I forgot about the Blitzenkopf. That's the Blitzkrieg. Remember the Blitz? So now this isn't going to be a cold war. It's going to be a hot war. Here, you got to have some horsey sauce. some horsey sauce. It was going to take off your head. Now, when we say horsey sauce, which four horsemen of the apocalypse would this apply to, Bob? The one that takes off your head.
Matthew Hurtado?
No, Bob. We were just trying to shine. We were just trying to shine because what we were going to tell everybody in your Facebook presentation of the vestiges of your endowed beneficial positions of having grandiose knowings regarding the wake, we were going to say that you were a Bible scholar and that you were very specific in Old and New Testament representations, especially regarding the apocalypse and the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and that we were going to show out, you had to shine. And of course, you took the bait and said, we won't expose ourselves as being. I've never been accused of being intelligent. We've never been accused of that. So that's always good.
So, horse sauce, take off your head. Would that be the war part? Armageddon?
The death horse. Mm-hmm. And so, and it's going to be like, they're going to take your head out of the tail tub. The tail tub. Now, the tail tub is the position, the one that you're looking at, that you can see of what's behind you. Because now, okay, we'll give a tiny example. See how there's a bunch of stuff in here? It's saying the sentence, but it's referring to a whole bunch of stuff. It's kind of like the henny hind you. Okay, you look back and you go, wait a minute. Biden didn't win the election. Now it becomes clear. So you get your head out of the tail tub. That one from the one of the four horsemen is going to take your head off. So it really doesn't matter what you look at in your rearview mirror because they're going to cut your head off. So the eyes won't see the rearview mirror. We're not going to take your rearview mirror, but you won't see what the rearview mirror is portraying, you see. Because this whole thing is haunted. It's all a mirage. It's a chamber of errings, of wrongness. And so you can fuss and stir up and scream and holler and yell and go through all this stuff, but it doesn't change the fact that Meshurim, the grinning statesman, now, we're not talking about your George Soros. We're not going to give him that kind of credit. But the Politburo bureau behind the bureau is Meshurim, you'll see. Murph and Meshurim from the Lot Murph. And so that's being developed here. Because you see, we had to get back up to this to get down to the actual pagination, which is 273. But there's a snootful right here just trying to get you ready. Okay, there's a little bit more to say, but I'm going to let them ask questions about it so they can feel like they're participating. Because if we say everything, then there's nothing to talk about. So go ahead, Bob.
Well, you have here on the left, side that's powder. For slogan plumpers. Mm-hmm. And then below that, haploids and atoms. And then you go to the numbers.
Wait. Haploids and atoms, you know what that is. That's the football and H-bombs.
Football?
Yeah. You remember the see? Look at that. That Bob just, you can't get nothing past Bobby. He gets it every time. Okay, and now the slogan plumbers, that's the ones that are looking for something. They're all sifting the face powder in Ukraine looking for the slogan plumbers. There's something in Ukraine that is causing this bit of travail. Okay, stop just 1 second. You have to think about this for a minute. Okay. Putin is crazy. Putin got cancer. Putin's fucked up. Putin don't have nothing. La, 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 la. Well, now come to find out, Vladimir Putin controls the world supply of gas and oil. Now, Putin controls the world food supply. Now, this terrible thing that he's done in Ukraine has ruined the world. This man has ruined the world. Now, nobody even heard of him before. Oh, if we praise Vladimir Putin, we're going to have gas. Margie, we're going to have a gallon of gas. Oh, Vladimir Putin going to let us have this election or something. Vast resources that his kingdom and domain does provide. Now, when he's withdrawn that, all of a sudden, the world is over. The world is over. Okay. Yeah. So it's kind of funny when you look at it objectively. And then you have to look at why would Vladimir Putin, when he's already feeding the world, and Gazprom apparently is giving gas and oil for the whole wide world. They're a pretty good slot. They're doing okay over there in Russia. Russia. Apparently they're doing pretty good in Russia. That's all you heard from the Yellow Dog Democrats. Russia. And so now all of a sudden, he decided to risk life and limb to blow up certain things in Ukraine. Doesn't make sense. And he's hitting all the wrong spots. There's no, he's systematically going through to find certain things that have bad things in them that have to be eviscerated at any cost. At any cost.
Is this all coming out of Sadler's powder for slogan plumpers? Are you just taking from this?
Yeah. Hoot nanny, isn't it, Bobby?
All right. And then down below that, haploids and atoms.
And the grin and chagrin. And the grin, doesn't matter. Even to their chagrin, they don't care.
Did you say I should open the vocal so people could ask questions? Did you say that?
No. We said we're going to leave a little bit. We're not going to explain every nuance so that interesting parts that certain people pick up at the afterglow, people can gauge to clear those up. We're going to make it so they could actually take apart.
Right. So footnote one, Papa Pesos, Mama Met, War Wits What and Who Wits Why. That's the sentence in the text, and then you go down to the bottom, footnote one, says, "What's that, ma'am?" says I. "What's that, ma'am?" says I. The who, which, why.
Correct.
And then two.
Yeah, what's that, ma'am? What is that, ma'am? We're going to destroy Ukraine. What's that? we're gonna go to war with NATO. What's that, ma'am? Who are they? I am. Who, what's that, ma'am? What is that, ma'am? What the fuck are you saying? Yeah, that's
right.
Okay, yeah.
And then the answer is, but it's tails for tufts and titties for toddies and cum buckets, cum bats till delete. Footnote two says, as you say yourself. As you say yourself.
In a country vernacular, that's basically making reference that it's too wet to plow.
Where's number three? And of C3.
Right above number four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here, Hengets and horse sauce. Take your heads out of that tail tub. The footnote says, that's the lethem use, but it washes off. That's the lethem use, but it washes off.
Let them use.
The blood
let them use.
Of the blown up head?
Yeah.
Washes off. Okay.
Yeah, because muse, normally, like if you're a singer, especially a diva doing the aria, you want to look for a muse. That's a let the muse. That's the the muse. Okay? And so, but it washes off. It doesn't hold. I'm your muse, but it doesn't last forever. I'm your muse, but it's only as good as it works.
All right.
That's Ringo Starr.
Yes. And you have Starlin. I'm just going to say Starlin and Sir Arthur Guinness, Comus Homely Brew, talking about Guinness's brew, Comus Homely Brew, be battled by bottle, Gaguerre de Gaguerre, sort of take off on Gare for war. That's footnote
we
four.
Yeah, green.
Well, that's later. Next line. Bull, Egan, Bear, and then Bear again, Bull again, grin. Staffs versus herds and bucks versus barks. But the footnote for be battled by bottle is where he fought the she-sock of a stim-stammer and we caught the pipettes of our lovelies. How's that related?
Well,
people you drink with?
The she-socks. No. The she-socks is the whole condition, what we were talking about before. The stim-stammer. That means what is in this little Ukraine thing that's anything that matters that we have to go through all this? And see, then we caught the pipettes of our love lives. So now you have an actor, that's your Volinsky, and now all of a sudden his wife, who doesn't live in Ukraine, she's safe off in the villa somewhere, in her little world, keeping the kids all fine, is now scouring the world trying to collect resources to save Ukraine. Isn't that odd? That they get to go, she gets to go before the United Nations and she doesn't even live with him? Pretty fun after a while. Well, she doesn't. So she's not, her hair's not ever been fussed or mussed. And now they got time to go on NBC or Dateline or Fuck Me Hard in a Watermelon Hay to talk about how their love life is better since their country's been purged into war.
Well, they're talking their chemical bodies on the TV body.
Well, if your country's being decimated by Vladimir Putin, how the hell do you have time to talk about your love life on Dateline?
Okay, let's see.
I mean, it's starting to end up being like a bad version of The Bachelor. I don't want your rose. I don't like you. I did not say you had something wrong with your genitalia. I said it felt like something was wrong with your genitalia. That's what I said.
So
it becomes like a bad soap opera. It's a bad episode of Dallas.
All right, Joyce is getting that from the radio shows he's listening to.
True. Now, the only thing got to work now, this is going to develop now. It's coming. Don't you think it ain't coming. There's a whole lot of stuff. Bucks versus barks. That's like bucking and barking. And as we say on the regular show, not this particular segment, because we would never say that here, but on our regular show, we would say this is the portion of the program where you have to sort it all out, whether you're feuding, fighting, or fucking. That's what we would never say that here, ever, under any circumstances.
So bucks are horses versus barks, dogs.
No, bucks is what happens to you. Are you going to buck? They're going to buck on you, Bob. They're going to buck. They're going to fight. They're going to fuck with you. Bucking. Do not agree. Do not go quietly to buck. Bark means you're just going to talk about it till you're blue. Whew. Okay, come on, Bob. We got things to do now.
Panoptical purview, political progress, and the future presentation of the past. And then we go over to page 273. By old grumble dumps walls, bumps, bellows, and balls. Oh, Primor's down, up, up, opama. More?
Just one little bit. We want to stop. You better do one more. One more sentence, no more.
Wait. Rents and rates and tithes and taxes, wages, saves, and spends.
A little bit more.
Hail. Heptarch span of peace. Live,
okay,
leave
that's
of Lex, next.
That's enough, that's enough, that's enough. You gotta stop on a dime. You gotta pay attention. You gotta stop on a dime, Bob. You know how this works.
Okay. I did.
Grumbledum's walls. Now here we go. Now you got walls. Remember walls that hadn't been built. Now we have people all over the world who listen to this, little missive, but this is about the, you know, now he's shifting it back home to what they call the United States of fucked up America. There's bumps, bellows, and balls. See? And Oppenheimer's down, Optima. Optima.
Yeah, that is the state, because right to the left is the little sentence, Kara Macri, me Boston fiend. There it is, Boston. Kara Macri, me Boston fiend.
And so what's happening is that there's issues. Now, that's referring to Oppenheimer family, but we don't want to get that specific. That's what Joyce was referring to, because in that world, that was the mainstay of oligarch or hip gobber. Bob has this affiliate with Otto von Habsburg, and he gets real all tangled up in all that. We don't mean to, but Bob does it, so we just pat him. It's like patting rattlesnakes. It never ends well, but we try to be kind as we can. So it's up and it's down. It's over, it's under. It's everything a rabbit can do to a stump. So it refers to a badly referenced or object of a preposition, basically. So now, here's what's happening. Picture it. The rents and the rates and the tithes and the taxes and the wages and the saves and spends. We're going to spend our way out of debt. I know how to solve this. We're going to spend our way out of debt. We're going to take all the money we don't have, and we're going to rent things that we can't pay for, and we're going to collect tithes and taxes, and we're going to tax the wages of the slaves, and then we're going to spend that money over and over and over again, and we're going to spend so much money that we're going to come up even. Then we're going to wake up next Tuesday, and we're going to say, the national debt says, $30 trillion is solved. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Vladimir Putin, for working this out for us. We would have never paid $30 trillion off of the debt had you not stopped that gas, oil, and food, and resources, and fertilizer, and everything that we hold dear, and this very important, Make America Great Again, United States of America. Thank you, Russia, 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 for once again saving the day. We appreciate it more than words make us say. And see, Joyce got this. This is why this is so fun. Now, we could have done this in a pagination position a little bit faster, but we couldn't because it had to come up to this. Now, you're starting to have this lull. And so this is that. This is the representation of the lull before the storm. Because we're here. So now y'all get to get it first lot. You get first lot. So it won't be so surprised. Just remember, when they stick a knife in you, it doesn't hurt when it goes in. It hurts when they pull it out. Yeah. Hurts when they pull it out.
Yeah, they're in a short span of peace. Hail the heptarch span of peace. Live, League of Lexnex and the Moors. Fastest, dacid, for air you. Impoverishment of the booble by the bauble.
Uh-oh.
For the bubble.
Uh-oh. Stop right there. Now, the Lex, Nex, and the Moors, that's the new countries trying to come into, what do they call it, NATO. It's a very foreign construct for us, but they're adding some to the Moors especially. And so now they've got to see if it's going to work for them or not, or work or not. And so now you got Bobby has had a bobble, and he's done looking for the bubble. Little bubble and squeak. So now what's got to happen, since Bob is on the scene, it's a problem. We don't know if it's an improvement or not. They don't either. They're considering it because now it's the only thing going. See, you're really good when you're the only game in town. You know what I mean? If you're the only lender or the money changer in the temple, your business is really brisk if you're the only thing in town. So wrap up your worries. Worries in your woe. Sorry. We better slow down. So, go ahead. Now, Bobby's on the scene. This is the announcement from the town crier saying, y'all are fucked and we can help. Is basically what
So, wrap up your worries in your woe, whoop em tum, and shake down the shuffle for the throw. For there's one mere hope for downfall, Ned. As Hannah Levy, shrewd shroplifter, and Neva Moore skidoos with her spoilings to add gay touches for Hugh and...
Right. That's good. So now, this is the fallout or the fall of Western civilization, where people can just walk into the Walgreens and steal all the condominiums that they want. I don't know what they would want to use condominium for, or this perfume, or these acne creams, and all these things that they're stealing. Why don't they steal some hair color and some makeup to make them look better, so they can be an attractive thief? I don't know. But it's basically that fall. The people just take what they want. Even down the shoplifter. Down the chain, exactly what's happened. A shrewd one that just walks in and takes it and walks out. This is that downfall. That fall where people are just doing any crazy thing they want. If you don't like it, they'll go pick a fight with the police. When's the last time you thought it was a good idea to go pick a fight with the police? Come here, you son of a bitch! And slap them in the jaw. Just slap their jaw right. Police don't normally like it when you slap their jaws. They don't normally like it. They don't care for it. But here, slap the jaws, get a fight, get off with no bail, and then come back, and then when you do have an arraignment, you ask the judge, by the way, Your Honor, I appreciate you letting me out here on my own recognizance, but is there anything I can charge that police officer for? He messed up my morning. Can I file charges against him? And the judge said, we'll take it under advisement. We'll take it under advisement. See, this upside down, reversed position. It's fleeting, but right now you see, it's skidoos. You're in a bad thing of skidoos. Okay, now that's almost enough for that. But go ahead.
To add gay touches for Hugh and Guy and Goy and Jew, to dimpled and pimpled and simpled and wimpled, a peek and a poke and a pig and a pew. She wins them by ones, a hall hecto indicate, for mangay mumble jum jubes, tack mutts and chips, much as bracel and that scratches Barcelona's.
All right, now you see, this is where they're stirring everybody else into the problem. So now it's not just going to hurt here, it's going to hurt everywhere. dimpled and pimpled and simpled and wimpled. A peek and a poke and a pig and a pew. You don't put pigs in pews, you put pigs in sties. But now they're putting pigs in pews, which is very interesting. You see, it's how much is it worth? This goes back, Bob's done dissertations on the finer points of penny babies. Penny babies. He's done lots of papers.
Economy.
He can develop
economics.
That. But this lays into the change into that economic, debenture. Because economics is that yin and yang of how close or far away you are to the sublime rather than the supernal. And so what this is laying out is like, what the hell are y'all doing? You putting your pigs in the pew? Well, no wonder you messed up. Pigs don't go in the pew, they go in the side. But it's laying out the obviousness of, oh no, that's perfectly okay. It's okay. We can, and they even bring in the Jews in this whole process to mix all this together. Palestine and the Jews can live together in one state. See the rub? Yep. Now it gets all personal now. Well, this was before Israel was a country when Joyce wrote this. So it's getting kind of hectic, I guess. It's a nice way to say it. So it's laying it out that everybody's going to be equally equal or not. Because the Goyish and the Jew are going to have to find some way to be put together, regardless. And that'll always end up in a gay touches. Because there was a time that if you like to sleep with the same sex, that would be an odd thing. Meaning, it's always happened. People act like this is invented it. Bob invented original sin. That's not the case. But now, all of a sudden, it's against the law if you look at someone who thinks differently than you. It's against the law. If you look at somebody who thinks different than you.
Well, she wins him by one.
Okay. Go ahead.
I want to move on. Oh, what a lovely free speech 'twas, Teptigar, how a lively, hinter-grunting tip, like loof of larks to bird and crocodile, or skittering, labbing at that wheeze of old windbag, Busterboss, blowharding about all he didn't do. Hell of your troop. With is the winker for the muckwits of Wilsley and Nitzis, a nod for the emperor Napoleon, and hither is poor blonde pipe
of horse. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Now they've done it. The Bonapartes are here. The Bonapartes are here. And so there ain't a white horse left now, because now you turn this into a larger thing. Bluster Boss. Now, you can figure who Windbag is. That's not too hard to figure out. And Blowhard. Bob's pretty much covered the market on being a blowhard. He's kind of got that all worked out. But there are some little things that have to be figured out here, because it's kind of like what would that be, a burden crocodile? Nobody talks about Crocodile Dundee, but everybody talks about Australia. This whole smattering and the Taiwanese tryst. And all that's beginning, too. But that's not the point of focus here. But it does lay it into the thing. Like lit of larks to bird and crocodile. It's making a simple notice of like, oh, yeah, what about? Oh, yeah, what about? That's what that's coming into. And you can figure out really quickly the winker of the muckwits.
At Wellesley.
And as Nancy Pelosi strolls to China? No. Taiwan?
Taiwan.
No.
Yeah.
Well, no, she didn't say. Because they told her, she goes to Taiwan, we're going to blow your plane up. And it'll be an invasion, and we're going to start World War 8 or 9 or whatever. Whatever Vladimir Putin is willing to pay for, apparently, because he holds the purse strings.
Where is that? Is this in Winker for the Muckwits of Wellesley?
And then a little further, huh?
Nith is a nod for the Emperor Napoleon, and hither is poor blonde piebald hearse. Hearse.
Mm-hmm.
With its tricuspidal howl, Burkhelm, old cover chaff emblem on, for the man that broke the ranks on Monte St. John. The all riddle of it? That is already with us, ahead of schedule, which already is planned,
ready,
accomplished from and signed.
Right. See, that's what's happening. Y'all acting like this is a miracle. Like, oh, my God, why is she going to Taiwan? It's all been planned. It's all been said. Oh, my God, you mean they're going to invade Ukraine? Why? Oh, my God, it's already been worked out. Oh, my God, how many people are in NATO? We have to have three more. Where are we going to get the three more? We've got to do this more. We've got to work it out. Oh, my God, it's all been planned. All the ruddiness has already been solved. But, okay.
I think
now,
I
do just
think
a little bit more
line,
and you better stop.
Yeah, the next line gets to your point of the war. Mm-hmm. Daffy of the five positions, that's the five parties, and then in brackets, the death ray stop him. Wow, that's futuristic. Getting the death ray written in the 30s. Mm-hmm. So Daffy of the five physicians, the death ray stop him, is still as reproaches Paulus on the Matterhorn and entre shats and hobnobs, daring Dunderhead to shivers timbers and Hannibal Mac Hamilton, the Higgerite, more live power elbow him, minister building up as re-preaches Timothy in St. Farmabrax. Wow, that's...
Yeah, okay. Now that's where you lose the Pope. This is where you lose the papacy, not just the papacy, but the Pope. So the next Pope will be much easier to pick up a sword of war. He'll lay down the fishing pole. He'll lay down Peter's fishing pole, the fisher of men. He'll lay that down. He's going to pick up a sword. Mm-hmm. Go to
where does it say that? Where do you see that?
Oh, that's easy. Go right. Just go right here. Go here. The Paul reproaches Paulus. You know,
Paul,
the reproaches of Paulus, and the Matterhorn is the head of that position, and the hobnobs of the church. You'll see it.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see it.
Okay, so go back to the numbers on page 273. Number one is the first line, by old Grumbledom's walls, bumps, bellows, and balls. So you go down, and has big talk, shake eternity and lick creation with bumps, bellows, and balls.
Mm-hmm. That's where you're taking over. There. You're going to change what you're going to do, and you're going to give creation a whooping. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, and then there'd be Heptarch, span of peace. Footnote 2, I'm blessed if I can see that being a prophet.
If you live through it, if you live through it, you'll be surprised.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. So then, three, it says, for there's one more hope for downfall Ned. The subplot. Note three, hoppity hunai, hoosh the hen. I like cluckers, you like nuts. Wink.
Mm-hmm. Wink. The cluckers and nuts. That's all in the thought of that, because it's got to make the hen hush. So this is the out five. What is yours? Who will provide the grand design of what is yours and what is mine? We're going to see which one. Soup to nuts. We're going to see how this works in the chicken house.
Okay. So then the footnote, number four, is Hannah Levy, shrewd shroplifter, and neither are nor mosquitoes with her spoils. Footnote four, sweet, medium, and dry, like altar wine. Three qualities there.
Yeah, sweet, medium, and dry like an altar wine. So it's kind of like, well, the shoplifters have gotten so bold now that they're going to go sipping on the communion wine. That's they'll just break into the church to sip in the communion wine because they're really, really hungry. That's the way to go. That's where a sot would want to sit close to the bar.
Yeah, to add gay touches for Hugh and Guy and Boy and Jew. So then footnote five, a peek and a poke and a pig in a pew. And you go down to number five, who buy me penny babies? You mentioned the penny something earlier.
Penny
who
babies,
buy me penny,
penny
babies?
Babies? That's the papers you wrote in your white paper about the economy, Bob.
Okay. But then number six is, she wins them by wands, a hall hecto indicate, for mangay mumbo jumjubes, talk mutts and jeffs. For mangay mumbo jumjubes, take mutts and jeffs, much as bracelets, grassies, Barcelonas. You come down to footnote six, it says, well, Maggie, I got your cast-off dibbles all right, and it's lovely, and I'm vaguely graceful. Maggie, thanks. Well, that's pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then, next line, oh, what a lovely free speech twas, tep de gar, how a lively hintergrunting. Footnote seven says, my six is no secret. That was a simple line about Maggie. My six is no secret, sir, she said. The seven's commenting on six.
This is, This is the, well, this is the end of the five-body model. This is the end, and finally, okay. Bob, James has figured out that it's time to tell Bob to let it go. Let it go. And so they put it in here now for this line so that the rest of eternity can be fulfilled completely. So my secret, there's no secret. It's six.
The hexad has been explained. The hexadic has been explained by you.
There is no landscape. There is no landscape now that has been set aside from you.
Right. That's good. So then the last one, tip, like lilt of larks to bird and crocodile. You were talking about that. And so footnote 8 to that says, yes there, Ted. Thanks. Give from Tater. Look at that now. Try it again. Yes there, Ted. Thanks. Give from Tater. Look at that now.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that crocodile. Yes there, Ted. Yeah, thanks. Give from Tater. Look at that now.
Yeah, but the tat hair, that has to do with Iran, the Iranian, and the Iraqi. Well, it'll end up being the Taliban, but that's developed. That's in another week or so, is the Taliban. But they're coming on the scene because it's going to be the World War Settlers. So you take some of the goodies and some of the baddies and make them all baddies against all the goodies. And the good ones are the bad. The white hat's got a black hat, and the black hat's got a white hat, and they swap coats. They start killing each other because they can't figure out who's the good guy and who's the bad guy, so they're just going to kill everybody. I can't tell. Officer, I don't know what happened, but I know I done it. I won't go and turn myself in. I'm going to go and turn myself in because there's not going to be no bond, and I'm not going to spend no time in jail. So I'll go ahead and turn myself in. I did it, whatever it was. I don't have any rights. I don't have any rights. Miranda rights are out the window. I just want you to keep me, quote, safe. That's all you need to do. That's fun.
And what is that all about, the bird and crocodile or Ted? Thanks, Tatter. Look at that now.
Number 8. It's a little wink. It's a little wink on 8.
Yeah, because 3 had the wink. 3 indicate, mm-hmm. anticipate the wink. Mm-hmm. So you go up on the left with a bunch of words. So we mentioned the Boston Fiend. Yeah. Then a little below that it says Families Hug Bank. That's off. That's after rents and rates and ties and taxes, wages, saves and spends. That's family talk, family concerns, and then
the family business.
And shake down the shuffle for the throw. Beside that, it says, "All we suffered under them cow dung forks, and how we enjoyed over our pick of the basket filled." Any sense to be made of that?
Oh yeah. That's setting up of the pegging of currencies, a basket of currencies that are pegged to each other.
Okay.
Or and then how we liked it when everybody was rich, how we liked it when we could borrow all we wanted, how we liked it when interest rates were 0.00% interest, and we could spend our way to heaven. We can spend our way to heaven.
And then opposite to add gay touches for Hugh and Guy and Goy and Jew to dimple to pimple and simple and wimple, it says old times meat meal. Meat meal. M-E-A-T. Old kinds meat meal. Got a pattern there?
Mm-hmm. That's the Happy Meal. That's why everybody's lined up for the Happy Meal. They're trying to figure out how to get their daily bread. Thank you for our daily bread that you actually owed me. You owe it to me.
Yeah.
You owe it to me. So thank you for giving me what you already owe me.
Yeah, but it says a peek and a poke and a pig and a pew. There's the meat, the pig.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A meat meal. That's what everybody's looking soon going to be pining for is some protein. You see.
Right. Yeah, then it says she wins them by ones, a hall hecto indicate for mangy mumbo jumjubies. Tack, Mutz, and Jeff's, Mutz, is Bracel, and that's Grass's, Barcelona's. And opposite that, it says Flea for the Jillies, and a Bomb Bam Bum for the Napatondas. Flea Flea mm-hmm. for the Jillies, or Fly Fly for the Jillies, and a mm-hmm. Bomb Bam Bum for the Napatondas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where Patton would say, damn the torpedoes.
Hmm. All right, so we went over to St. Barmbrack's. We'll end there. And I'll unmute and see if we get time for some commentary. Unmute all.
All participants are now unmuted.
Okay, Evan. What do you say, Evan?
I say, well, I mean, I just absolutely...
We're sorry.
The tangential...
We're sorry. We're sorry. We're sorry there wasn't much meat this week. We're sorry.
Oh, dude,
we wish it could be better.
It's always meaty. It's just all the tangential meat. But I love how it's grounded in Ukraine, because a while ago you were talking about Stonehenge and the key to it in Bolivia or Ecuador, and you said watch where things happen around the world, and that's where something possibly is. Another trigger.
And this becomes a preview. This becomes a preview to give you a heads up.
I got it.
And
my muting... Yeah, you're still on.
And
hey,
leave them alone, Bob. They're just slapping. Leon, they're slapping the hogs. Leon, don't slap the hogs. Show that.
Usual chaos.
Yeah, chaos. Hog slapping. Hog slapping is always a big job.
Yeah, Leon's always dragging his wooden leg around and banging into kitchen tables.
Hey, and the problem is he's taking it. He's taking up whittling, and we don't know how long this is going to last, so it'll be interesting.
Whittling his own leg, Evan.
Yeah, whittling,
taking up whittling. Yeah,
yeah. Taking up pews. Anything else? Yeah, that's... anybody got something to say?
Yeah, I think it was quite interesting, how Hawaiians managed to incorporate all four horses of the apocalypse in this... particular, just 273 pages.
They're all afoot. They're all afoot. This is that moment. And we would never want to set them loose. You never want to lose them. You want to get, hey. You want to turn Bob, you want to turn Bob's head? Start talking about the nightmare. Start talking about the dark horse. You get his attention. He'll stop, he'll stop speaking. He'll start listening fast. Because that's the thing you can't determine. It's not predetermined. It's pre-settled, but it's not predetermined. See, the four horsemen are going to ride, but now do they ride over you or beside you? There's the rub.
So when you asked Bob which horse that was that takes off your head, was that the first horse?
The red horse.
The horse.
Red?
The horse. Red horse.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, we worked that out a few months ago, the different colors.
Mm-hmm. What?
Bob did. We had very little to do with it, Bob. It was all Bob. It was really all Bob.
Yeah. I have the back.
Well, happy days. We enjoyed it so very much. Y'all don't miss it. Be there.
Hey.
Thank you all.
Hey, wait. Let's go a few minutes over. We started late. You're okay. You can go a few minutes over. Overtime. We call him for overtime. Is he gone? He follows that rule. He stops right at 2 a.m. Yeah. My time. Looks like, okay, but people can comment. We don't need to have his response. What do you say, Bert or Robin or Alyssa or Allison? Anybody here want to say anything?
Hi, Bob. Yeah, I wondered whether or not the Oppenheimers were related to the South African Oppenheimers, or whether they sort of the...
I think that's what he's talking about. Yeah,
yeah.
The gold people. Pound went on about the gold people in the 30s on the radio, so Joyce was aware of that. Ezra Pound.
Thanks.
That's your neighborhood.
My
okay, who Bob. Else has something to say? You don't have to sound intelligent.
Okay, Bob, all right, so the thing I found interesting was that Ian read the notes upside down. So he said it was B-A-C. Well, he said the notes in the chart were B-A-C-G.
Oh, the notes, yes. Whatever.
But they're actually...
not that?
No, they're actually what it says on the page next to it, B-C-A-D.
I see. And he said there were other letters, F.
They were upside down. Yeah, B-A,
B-A...
What do you mean upside down? There were other letters? What does it mean to be upside down?
So when you read the note, you have to go, every good boy does fine, as you're coming up to each line. And then as you're going up each interval of between the line, you go F-A-C-E. But he was going it... He was reading it starting from the first line going downwards instead of coming up.
Hmm. Well, what's the significance of that? What's the significance of that? And what are the... Who created the notes?
Joyce did. He just said, nod to acoustic space. It bounds off the hyper-visual of the book reading. Just a reminder of people to keep your ear in mind. Remember the ear. Don't get unbalanced.
And, I remember Ion said something about F-A-C-E and to play it as a note, you know, strike all of those on a keyboard at once.
F-A-C-E is presented strongly in the angel diagram in Revelation chapter 23. There's a whole section that just says big letters, F-A-C-E. I was thinking of that. But he says, please stop if you're a BC minding messy, please do. Talk about the alphabet. The A slipped down to the next line, but A-B-C. Joyce is always referring to the A-B-C minded person, the illiterate stuck person.
Yeah, but it can also mean B-C is only one interval away, whereas A-D is... I believe it's like one of the pentatonic intervals, which has like much more, it's a much wider. So maybe he's saying if you're close-minded, where you know you only got one interval versus, I believe the other one is four or five, then you might not get the next part.
Yeah, see, don't get too bogged down the details. Keep the big. The thing is the battle of the senses. So if you're doing ABC, please stop. That's over on page 18. Let's see. That important statement. Listen to this. So second half of page 18 says, stoop. If you are absent-minded, A-B-C-E-D, minded. If you are absent-minded to this clay book, what curious of signs, please stoop in this alphabet. Can you read, since we and thou had it out already, its world? It is the same told of all. Many, many miscegenations on miscegenation. Tico, they lived and laughed and loved and left. For sin. Thy thingdome is given to the Medes and Persians. So it goes on a bit. Then it says this. In the ignorance and implies impression that knits knowledge, that finds the name form, that wets the wits, that convey contacts, that sweetens sensation, that drives desire, that adheres to attachment, the dog's death, the bitch's birth, that entails the ensuance of existentiality. So there's the whole stages of apprehension and the involvement of the senses. And look, the stoop is just above that. So you connect stoop with that 12-fold path of Buddhism. And then you go over here to page 272, and he's got the stoop. Please stop. Please stoop. Please stop. So you see it's about the absent-minded, A, B, C, D, E. And he's saying, if you're stuck in the absent-minded, you need a little acoustic rhythm. Bounce off your sensory specialization. So you look at the biggest, easiest way to look at the wake is to look at the battle of the senses. And then how the media are extensions of those senses and how they battle. So you get to page 52, where it says, right in the middle of the page, television kills telephony or telephony in brothers' broil. Our eyes demand their turn. Let them be seen. So Joyce is offering a way for the eyes to be seen, and that's Finnegan's Wake, but always keeping the other senses in mind. So you'll see he's always balancing off the senses and meshing, pairing them off all through the book. And that comes out of a tradition in the 19th century where literate critics invented the word ideology, and they argued over the eye people versus the ear people. The eye people were the literate snobs, and the ear people were the drinkers in the pubs. So that was a class war in the 19th century based on sensory bias. And so Joyce and Lewis and Pound, they inherited that fight and that that obscure critical mix-up that was forgotten after World War II. There was a student of McLuhan who wrote a book on this in the 90s. Vince somebody. It's a very good book. I think it's called Ezra Pound, Wyndham Lewis, and Radical Modernism. Vince somebody.
Wasn't this extra visible in Ireland as Irish Catholics were not allowed to attend university? So they never became I people.
That's right. Yeah.
So it was very clear for, or very visible for Joyce.
Yes, that's what Joyce, he was talking pop culture when he looked at people that way. He saw it.
Vincent Sherry.
Good. You looked up the title?
Yeah.
Good. Vincent Sherry. S-H-E-R-R-Y. He's over there in Pennsylvania. I talked to him once in the 90s after I read his book and found out that he had been a student of McLuhan in Toronto, and that's where he got that sensory stuff. But his book is really valuable. It's the most obscure information that no one else knows that he found from the 19th century. So recommend it to everybody. Well, okay, awesome. What do you say? I think that's about an hour. Maybe that's about the length. Doesn't matter. Anybody got anything to say else?
So, Bob, there's just something about Joyce being able to mash up all of these different zones or perceptions from history. Couldn't you almost write a book like this from what you know?
Well, I did. Apparently, I was a big factor in the writing of Finnegan's Wake back in the 30s, because remember, the aliens dictated to Joyce, and now those aliens are looking for me, so I'm intimately connected. And when I belonged to the Finnegan's Wake Society of New York in the 90s, I was always saying, oh, this section's about me. And eventually, a dentist got very upset. He told me to shut up. Don't you ever mention yourself again. And then 3 weeks later, he was dead, so... I'm sure that I was right once again. And then his wife apologized to me 2 or 3 years later. He said, yeah, my husband was wrong, Bob. Your approach is excellent. I like your approach. So I won again. So, yeah.
So hold it. Was it? Yeah. Go ahead, please.
I have an interesting relationship to Finnegan's Wake. I see Ion is the voice of Finnegan. You know, Ion is like... the ongoing chatter of Finnegan's Wake is Ion. Joyce saw it coming. Saw Ion's ability to talk for 12 hours, peeking over the horizon there. But McLuhan said he applied Joyce to social issues. I apply all kinds of things, so I'm not limited to Finnegan's Wake. But up till Ion, I sounded like Finnegan's Wake. Right? I was not understood at all when I was on CKLM. Now I'm understood.
So hold it. Do you understand Joyce, or do you understand what Joyce is referencing?
As Ion would say, what's the difference?
There's a difference there. Because you can hear what Ion is talking about. In a sense, Ukraine, and who knows? I mean, maybe it's Ukraine, maybe it's, you know, but he is applying it to now. Is that what it is then? It is something, what, did you ever figure out what the cipher was? I mean, is that what this?
No, we're still working on that. And, Ion is showing what the language is saying. Ion says there's a non-physical influence in all art. There's a level of meaning or purpose, and the creator doesn't know about it. Joyce doesn't know what we're saying. He didn't mean that. But if you think of the way Joyce lived, he's a guy who read all day long, for decades, yeah. And he had a comfortable situation. Sometimes he was poor, but he just, because he was famous, he could always call on someone to lend him some money. So he spent all the day reading everything. He read through the Encyclopedia Britannica, so he had all this information in his brain, and he just started writing it down and then looking at it and punning on it. He saw the pun was the way to hold it all together. And one guy said, "Your punning is trivial." And he said, "Yes, some of it's trivial and some of it's quadrivial." And he was referring to the trivium and the quadrivium. Trivial was the first three arts of the seven arts, and then the quadrivium was the last four arts. So there's a lot of learning that he got from the Jesuits that he couldn't help reading stuff and then see the way his mind would overlay his own interpretations and projections. And he saw that's what everybody did. So he wrote a diary every day of his own projections while being objective about it as much as possible. And of course, it created a mess until you figured it out. And you have to go to the battle between the senses and then the battle between the extension of the senses. So McLuhan comes along and he translates Finnegan's Wake. That's what McLuhan did. He translated it. He just took Finnegan's Wake and said, "Well, I'm not going to get lost in every line and every little reference point. I'm going to look at the languages itself, the language itself, and then the extension of language." So he said he studied form, the laws of form, and that's how he interpreted Finnegan's Wake. So all that Marshall wrote, if he never mentioned Finnegan's Wake, no one knew that every sentence he wrote was an extension of a translation of Finnegan's Wake. So if you have a lot of meaning, semantic meaning on each page, then you're not going to talk about the Finnegan's Wake on the level of semantic meaning. You're going to start saying, "Oh, this is about language, and this is about the visual extension of language, the printing press." So he took these larger forms and said that's what the drama was, the drama of cognition in Finnegan's Wake. But nobody knew that he was explaining Finnegan's Wake. Until a few of us figured it out.
So did Joyce go ahead.
I said there are lines in here where Joyce explains his method, and they point to looking at the form. The very description of Marshall McLuhan on page 254 goes into a very accurate description of Marshall McLuhan himself, even as Marshall's name. But I don't know if I want to go into that. I just wanted to go to page 614. Don Field would quote this all the time. He's a great Joyce scholar. Here is Joyce talking about what he's doing. So he calls it a Vico cyclometer. So it's based on Vico, the philosopher. Our whole mole mill-wheeling Vico cyclometer is at the bottom, 614. A tetradomational gazebrochroticon. So he's got the tetrad that McLuhan developed right there, a tetradomational gazebo crot icon. So it's about the new iconic post-book media, like movies and the photograph. So a tetradomational gazebo crot icon, the mammaluja known to every schoolboy scandaler, be he Matty, Marky, Lukey, or Jonadonk, autokinetonetically, look at that, there's the kinetic sense, autokinetonetically pre-provided with a clapper coupling smelting works, ex-progressive process. So he's describing what he's doing, an ex-progressive process, or a progressing out of. And then in brackets, for the farmer, his son, and their homely codes, that's the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, for the farmer, his son, and their homely codes, known as egg burst, egg blend, egg burial, and hatches hatch can, that's all in brackets, receives through a portal vein, there's Ion's portal talk, receives through a portal vein, the dialytically separated elements of precedent or precedent decomposition for the very pet purpose of subsequent recombination. He breaks apart, separates all these elements, and then recombines them so that the heroticisms, or heroic activities, catastrophes, and eccentricities transmitted by the ancient legacy of the past, transmitted from the past, by the past, look what he says, type by tope, typing, letter from letter, word at word, so letter is visual, word at word is ear, with Sendance of Sundance. That's basically the multi-sensuous experience walking around in the weather. Sendance of Sundance, that's all the senses together. Since the days of Pluny and Columcellus, when Giacenti Prevention Margaret swayed over the all too ghoulish and illyrical, that's not lyrical, you know, that's multi-sensual chaos, and inhumantic in our mother nation. And all of that, he says, all anastomosically assimilated and preter-identified or preter-identified periodically or peri-idiotically, in fact, the same old game-bold atomic structure of our finis, the old one, as highly charged with electrons as haphazards can affect it. All that may be there for you, so he's taking what is there for everybody, the media surrounding you, cock-a-lululululuminos, when cup and platter and pot come piping hot, as sure as yourself pits hen to paper, and there's scribing scrawled onto eggs. So you get your breakfast delivered to you with the newspaper. And now, after all that, and you can break it down, you can see he's talking about atomic structures and electrons and their extensions. So after all that, he goes, of cause? So he's saying, have I said something about cause? So, yes. And what about effect? So he goes, and in effect, he has a question. As? So is it metaphor or metonymy? So is it cause? So? And in effect, as. So he's talking about technical causes of sensory effects. And then that's the last word of Phoenix Wake, 6:15, because then comes the letter, which is what we've been searching for all through the book, the letter. So he ends the book with the letter. So it's all well organized. You see what I'm saying? And before that section I read you, 8 lines above, he says, what has gone, meaning what has happened, how it ends, and here's what he says to do. Begin to forget it. It will remember itself from every side, with all gestures, in each our word. Today's truth is tomorrow's trend. Forget, remember. You got to remember to forget, Devin. How are you going to do that? You got to forget. You don't want to remember to forget. You just want to forget. And then he says, have we cherished expectations? Do we have expectations? Are we for liberty of perusiveness? Why after what for where? A plain planned lithium, assemblements, a blandious conglomerate horde. There's the crowd. That's social media or any form of language or collectivity that communicates. It's a plain planned lithium, assemblements, a blandious conglomerate horde by dim delty diva. And then he repeats the word forget with an exclamation mark. He's telling you forget. And then he goes into the answer. Our home, all mill, willy, vehicle, cyclomer, tetradimensional, gazebo, graticon. It's obvious once you get familiar with this. You know what I mean? It's pretty incredible how well it's organized. So did I talk too fast? Was I incomprehensible?
No, man, that was so spectacular. That was incredible.
Especially if you were looking at it, because you're not looking at it.
You're ready for the
news. Well, Bert's looking at it.
You're ready for the press conference, Bob. It's amazing how you pulled that out.
Yeah, with the aliens.
Yes, you're
ready. Yeah, they're going to say, what do you vote, Bob? And I can say, well, the whole mall, mill wheeling, Zico, fecal, flowers, fecal. And they're going to, page 614. I'll go, right. We'll flash our fitting weight knowledge at each other.
Oh, my
then
God.
Then he'll go on, and I'll just yell out, forget, remember? You go, you're right, Bob. I got to remember. Forget. It's going to be a very funny interaction.
No, it's amazing, so you're Bob, looking at how it, you. Yes, I'm looking at it, but all the quotes, I already had them outlined, so you've covered this before, because when you were saying these pages, I'm like, Bob is just pulling these pages. You get like Ion does the Bible. Bob's pulling out passages from Finnegan's Wake out of the air.
If these aliens, that's all they speak, I'm the only guy that they can get to talk to. It makes so much logical conclusion that why Bob's on this task. Now, look at when he says... what has gone, how it ends. And you look at the paragraph before. It all kind of retrospectively fits. He goes, Finsense, a warn. So he's talking about the Phineas Wake. What kind of sense is it making? Finsense, Finsense, a warn. Tuck up those wide shorts, the pink of the busket for sheer give, peeps. Stand up to, look at this modern statement, stand up to hardware and step into style. And what that means is the industrial oligarchy is trying to control the 20th century by emphasizing hardware and money and weapons and oil and war, and they're ignoring the software environment that radio and movies are bringing in, which is changing people. So Joyce is saying stand up to hardware and step into style. Style is its term for the software superficial information overload, right? You're forced to deal with styles and fads. And then he says, if you soil me, pewit me privates, for a new men's mon, for a new man mon, set a marge to the merge of unnotions, and initiation one's a game. So he's talking about intuition, it seems there. For a new man, set a marge to the merge of unnotions. So marge is the right hemisphere woman. Apply marge to the merge of unnotions. Males have unnotions. They're not sensitive to the right hemisphere, the left hemisphere. And then initiation, one's a game. See? So then you say, well, what the heck's that mean? And then you see the next line, what has gone? How it ends? Begin to forget it. He's explaining, each paragraph is explained in the next paragraph, so to speak.
You're on a roll, Bob. You're on a roll. You're in the zone.
Glad that Ian left the room so I could get fucking some breathing room and lay out Bob knowledge here.
This is a dumb question, but is there not very much punctuation in this?
There's no punctuation. Oh, no. It's to make it ear, you don't follow the punctuation. You have to get into the rhythm of it. But to make it I, you bring in punctuation. So the clash of the punctuation of the I and the rhythm of the ear leads to a mess. But you've got to learn to weave, what's that boxing term, duck and dive
bob
or something.
And weave. Bob and weave.
Bob and weave. You got to bob and weave. You got to bob and weave, and then that is actually working on your own sensory makeup. And how you actually bob and weave, your senses are doing that every day as they interact with environments.
Wow, so that was, And so it's in that bob and weave delivery that there are these pauses or these ascending and descending through...
Like speech. Ascending, descending meaning. So when you're talking to somebody, you're always making out a pattern for what they're saying. And depending on your politeness, you show you're interested in what they're saying or not. So that's the drama of cognition. You tune in, you tune out. So this is always happening in Finnegan's Wake, the very act of how people interact. Because ultimately, it's all taking place in a bar, and everybody's talking, and it's quite noisy. With TV and radio, on in the wall. So that's the environment that you have to remember. A noisy night out, like coming to here, coming to this show.
So does it have an arc, or is it all horizontal in its story? Does it have a novel's overall in the story, Bob? Is there a novel? Is there any? Is it? Because it ends. It does end. And he does put, remember to forget. Does it have an arc like a movie?
Since it has all media, the book part of it has an arc. And there's many people, that's how people first approach the Wake. They would try to find the novelistic plot. So there's all different interpretations and theories about the plot. But that's only like one fifth of the media. The visual plot. I just opened to page 254 and look what it says. The mar of murmury or memory murmurs to the mind's ear. Look, he has it right there, the mind's ear. Uncharted rock, evasive weed. Now, the interplay of the rock and the weed is there as a dialectic. So right above that says, eye to eye, eye witnessed. eye-to-eye eyewitness. The sensory aspects are pocoed all over the place. Okay, here's another one. And for the honor of alcohol, drop that, and this is all hyphenated. You know what I've come about, I saw your act air. So, and for the honor of alcohol, drop that, you know what I've come about, I saw your act air. Right? So that's how you see people in person, in the bar, you're watching their the games, their facial expressions are making and reacting to you, and you're seeing, well, they're putting me on in that part, or I'm going to be a little more open in this part of the conversation. So you have people looking at each other, and they're watching to see where they see the other person's act. So he says, for the honor of alcohol, drop. In other words, get numb from alcohol and stop looking at me as if you think you know what I'm doing. Drop that. You know what I've come about? I saw your act, air, A-I-R. See? he's trying to talk about interaction of all the senses without being proper prose. Trying to show, one of the best phrases for this, is the drama of interaction between people. Drama of cognition. So, wow. This book is circular. So this Phoenix Wake with Many Media, as a book, it's circular. It ends, you read step by step, you come to the end, and then it continues on the beginning on page 3 again, so it cycles back. But if you treat this as a radio show, it doesn't cycle back. The radio is turned off on the last page. In mid-sentence. So somebody's saying, wish a gull, so a seagull flying by. Gulls, far calls. You know how seagulls call in the distance. Coming far. End here. So somebody says, end here. And then Joyce says, us then. Somehow come back to us, we end. And then he says, Finnegan, take, bless of off of thee, remember me, till thousands the lips. Where thousands see lips, so whatever lips, lips means there, till thousands the lips or loops, and then he says soberly, the keys to this whole experience are given. And then he sort of sentimentally says, away, alone, alas, a loved, along the, and you go back to River Run at the beginning of the book, along the River Run. But what happened on the electric media is after a loved along the radio got turned off. So it's not, you'll see people always have the book bias and say, this is a book that cycles back and it's cyclical and I'll analyze everything based on that. They miss the other media that are making an electric experience. People are always discontinuing what they're listening to or watching, turning it off. You don't do that with a book. You might put it down, but you usually finish a sentence or fall asleep. But this is showing a different media environment where you turn it off. So it doesn't go back to the beginning on that level. So every medium is represented here. So you look at it as a movie, look at it as a TV show, a radio show, a newspaper, a magazine, a photograph, a bunch of paintings, opera. All human arts are in here because it was all merging into an information environment. That's what we live in today, where all the media overlap, interpenetrate like synesthesia, and you can't, as Ayn says, have a technology anymore. You don't have a medium. We have, what do you call it? What do you call this flux that people are in? What I call five bodies. Yeah, we don't even have a word. We don't even have a word for it, but this whole book is a word trying to describe, define, like a dictionary, what we're experiencing. So it's the best painting of our time. And it gets more and more accurate as the decades go on and the information society becomes more subtle, more refined, more violent, more expressive. So when I talked to James Joyce through the Evergreens, he said he wanted to make a fast book. He wanted to bring in the speed that was happening to people And so he put the whole book on the first page. Mm. Right? Fast book. All the themes are right there on the first page. Mm. So you just have to read one page and you've done it. If you can figure it out. But nobody can figure it out. They gotta go on the Emmaus Road and have a long talk with Bob and go through the 628 pages to figure out what the first page was all about.
So is this, in a sense, what McLuhan was saying, here comes everyone, or something like that? It's like...
Well, that's a phrase from this book. Yeah, he was saying, here comes everybody all the time.
Yeah, and so is that what he was trying... Was he trying to... And so is that what Joyce is trying to capture? Is it almost sounds like a conversation that's maybe in somebody's head from their experiences, all these little clips that vocalize it. Is it... So it's all the medias at once.
Yeah. And so here's McLuhan. He's a professor of English. And he goes into class in 1936 in Wisconsin. And then he's in St. Louis the next year for 7 years. Then he comes up to Toronto. He gets into Toronto, University of Toronto, 1946. And he's teaching James Joyce and the modernists of the 1914 period. They're called the Men of 1914. Pound, Lewis, Eliot, Joyce, and Yeats. And first problem, the kids are not allowed to read Ulysses. The book is locked up in the library somewhere, and the kids got to get permission. I don't know what kind of permission, but he's teaching a book that the kids aren't allowed to see because it's pornography, the establishment thinks, right? And he starts writing about Ulysses, about a book that no one could see. Probably not till the 50s did people start to get access to it, students and that. But he has to, as a professor of English, he has to pretend that this mania, this crazy art and writing that came out of Europe in the, before World War I and into the 20s and 30s, he has to say this makes sense. James Joyce was not nuts. He's got to come up with a way to explain Ezra Pound and his cantos, and Eliot's work. Eliot's was a little easier. Lewis was hard to explain, and then Finnegan's Wake. So I think as a professor of English, he did what he used to say others didn't do. He said, the problem is my fellow cultural leaders don't even pretend to know. Mm-hmm. So McLuhan was pretending to know because he could get into that and put it on. He actually came across as actually knowing something. He wasn't pretending. But he had to drop all the niceties of culture to really begin to see what Joyce was doing. Because obviously Joyce was ridiculous. You can't, if you just look at the thing and try to read it, it goes on and on, it's a waste of time. And most people get bored of it. They can't figure out what it is. But that's because they think it's a book. But once you know, as he used to teach, McLuhan used to tell everybody in his classes, this is not a book, it's a radio program. Mm-hmm. Told that to Murray Schafer, one of the most famous Canadian composers, who told me that he was a student of McLuhan in 51, and he never forgot that Finnegan's Wake was a radio program, and he went on to make music for, he innovated this, having nature environments be broadcast on CBC. So he adapted his understanding of Finnegan's Wake from McLuhan and become a well-known, popular avant-garde composer, Murray Schafer. So, and then, here's this obscure professor. Why does he become famous in the 60s? Because he was speaking to the synesthesia that the kids were experiencing and trying to simulate it with their drug taking. He was there ready to talk about it and address it because he was an expert on this book, and this book predicted the second half of the 20th century, you could say. So it's all quite beautiful, the passing on of the torch from Joyce to McLuhan.
Yeah. Absolutely astounding. I mean, when you're...
Yeah.
I mean, there is so much, there is just so much going on right now in the world. Listening to this...
If you explain to any kid, any 20-year-old, say, here's a book that's made up of email. Take your experience on texting. Well, there's a book that did this. What? How did he do this? Oh, we'll get to that later, how he did it. But look at this book, and they'll look at it. Wow, it is texting, because it's just constant interaction. And, you know, with spelling mistakes like texting has. So if you point out how their environment is in this book, they should be intrigued by it. A reasonably smart kid will be puzzled about how this person do this, show our future 100 years ago. So you, as McLuhan, to get kids interested back in the 40s, he'd say it was a radio show. That was their medium before TV. Then he said it was a TV show. Whatever medium came along, he said this book was miming that new medium. And so I'm probably the first to say that this is texting digital life of the chip body that everybody experiences today.
So hold up. Oh, go ahead.
Could you perform this, like having a choir, 10 people, 15 people, and reading each, not
it's
syllable,
been performed
but,
many times. Different people have done it online.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of performances of it. What our group did, we did a performance for the James Joyce Society in New York, and it was me, Carolyn, and like 10 of us. And we had to we each put on a character. So I was Shem.
Exactly. Mm.
Carol, I think, was ALP. And I forget who was Sean. But everybody, according to their body structure and the way they were, they fit into a certain character style of the people in the wake, the main characters. So we each memorized fragments from the book. So the leader of our group, his wife painted a cardboard thing with all the characters, and we would put our face into the hole where the face would be of the character. You know, those kind of things?
Yes.
You put your face into a painting of yourself.
Yes.
It was all one big cardboard. So we all had our faces there, and we just bounced off from one to another, quoting different parts of the book. And it was so striking that the James Joyce Society reported this to the James Joyce Quarterly, and we're on the cover of that particular issue. It's in about 1994. You go to the library and look up the James Joyce Quarterly, you'll see us, a picture of our performance. So we did our version of it. And so Cecile Groves, Murray Groves' wife who made the whole cardboard thing for us to put our heads in, she had at the bottom all the major thinkers up to that point. There's like about 10 major Joyce scholars, all known for writing books on Joyce, and they all had their own unique view. So she laid out all the cliche famous people. And right there in the middle of the books, you see McLuhan Dobbs. She added me and McLuhan as a book, which, you know, there was no such book as McLuhan Dobbs. I certainly was not known to be a Joyce scholar. McLuhan was, but people didn't know he was translating Finney's Wake, and people didn't know that I was doing Finney's Wake on the radio before anybody else. So it actually was a work, but it was Electric Media work. That's how we were known, McLuhan and me. And so the book was a fictional book, McLuhan Dobbs, but she was smart enough to know what we had done and stuck that in the list at the bottom of the painting.
Yeah, it also sounds like you would say all the phrases from the book, and if you tilt the book, you can kind of hear that there are several voices talking at the same time. That's why when you put it to paper, it gets jumbled.
Yes, and when I talked to Joyce through the Evergreens, and I played for the New York group my talk with the with Joyce, so people had that in their mind. He said his opening image was a pub with all these voices going on.
Yeah.
But I think he also overlaid a public telephone, whatever they called those public telephone lines that people used to have. Remember, the whole community would be on the telephone?
Yeah, the dead lines, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember that term, but that's your term. In Sweden, maybe that's what it was. But anybody originally could listen to anybody saying anything.
Yeah.
So he he took a crowd scene in the pub and then he electrified it. First with the telephone and then with other media. So definitely he was showing the crowd dynamics. So you go to page 112 and he says, at a key point, he says, lead kindly fowl, F-O-W-L. So that can be a bird or French F-O-U-L-E, which is French for crowd. So lead kindly crowd or chicken, they always did. Ask the ages what bird has done yesterday, man may do next year, be it fly, be it molt, be it hatch, be it agreement in the nest. For her, the crowd, it can be for the crowd or for the bird, for her socio-scientific sense is sound as a bell, sir, her volucrine automutativeness right on normalcy. She knows, she just feels she was kind of born to lay and love eggs. Trust her to propagate the species and hoosh her fluffballs safe through din and danger. Lastly, but mostly, in her genetic field, it is all game and no gammon. She is ladylike in everything she does and plays a gentleman's part every time. And it goes on. Oh, one more line. Let us auspice it. Yes, before all this is time to end, the golden age must return with its vengeance. Man will become dirigible. Ague will be rejuvenated. Woman with her ridiculous white burden will reach by one step sublime incubation. The main wanting human lioness with her dishorned discipular manram, or discipular manram, will lie down together, publicly flank upon fleece. You remember how Ian's always talking about when dog lays down with cat?
Right.
So this true. Whole thing, I'll also just finish it. So it says, no, assuredly, they are not justified. Those gloom pourers who gross at letters have never been quite their old selves again. See, people are complaining that books aren't proper anymore, or they're ridiculous compared to what people grew up with in books by the 20s and 30s. So these gloom pourers who gross at letters have never been quite their old selves again since that weird weekday in bleak Janavir, yet how palmy date in a west in a waste oasis, when to the shock of both, Biddy Duran, the hen, looked at literature. And that's what he's doing. He's looking at literature and where it's going. But it starts off, lead kindly fowl. He was looking at the archetypes of crowd behavior. Whereas Ulysses was more about individuals, the individual ego. And then he said the ego gets subsumed in the crowd dynamics of finding its wake into the collective. So you could talk forever once you get a handle on this about anything. Just open to page 223. It says, a space. Who are you? The cat's mother. A time. What do you lack? The look of a queen. So he's got space and time right there in that sentence. So McLuhan said that Joyce actually presented the E equals MC squared way better than Einstein. Einstein was too specialized in math and matter. Joyce was looking at a whole realm of experience and different forms of categories via different media. So if you're going to write a book about a theory of everything, you'd write Finnegan's Wake, not what Stephen Hawking or Einstein and these literate specialists come up with. So here's Marshall in 1953, Marshall McLuhan, writing about Joyce, and nobody's even allowed to read him, and they can't get to Ulysses, the students, and they can't read Finnegan's Wake. That's impossible. But at the time, Marshall's saying, Joyce accomplished way more than Einstein in terms of making some theory. You have to think about that for next year. Think about if you had the opportunity to unite everybody with some artifact of knowledge, how would you do it? Well, the more and more you understand the world, you wouldn't do it with some Stephen Hawking formula about black holes, about something out there and a big bang. You would go into the style of Finney's Wake, which evokes every meme, like my chart, and you have to explore them all. You wouldn't be just one specialist. You'd put on, first of all the disciplines, then you put on all the bodies, and that's what I did, and that brought forth Ion, which is the actualization of the whole process that Finney's Wake is pointing to. And that's why the world is coming to us and saying, Bob, give me a seat at the table. Here's $300 million.
Right. Hey, does Joyce, do any self-reflection in it? Does he, in there,
yeah.
Does he talk
it's all
about
this? Yeah. He has a whole chapter based on himself, but it's mixed in with, since he knew he was just not a chemical body, that he had these other media bodies and way more constituents and makeup, you know, made up of all these other levels. So he can, it looks like it's sort of like about him, the known stories of his life, early life. You see some of that in there, but there's all this other stuff. But what is all this other stuff? Who's that about? But if you understand that he's not limited to oneself, and he has all kinds of experience that the media are giving him, that people aren't thinking is part of themselves back then you understand this is a, like his first book, A Portrait of the Young Man. A portrait of the artist as a young man. Then Ulysses is a portrait of the artist as a mature man. And then Phineas Wake is a portrait of what? What you've become. A portrait of the 20th century as an artist.
Right, right.
So that leads to the tech body. That leads to the tech body.
Right. I was just wondering at all if he's like, here I am, I'm talking about all the media, but here I am with a pen and writing a book. But there, so he has an eye bias, and if that...
And he's aware of it, and he's going to cancel it. He's going to cancel that all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, he's going to write a book that it's going to come across as a book, but he's going to keep pointing beyond the book constantly, every page.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I mean, he told me through the Evergreens that the Evergreens were the entities that Michael Blake Reed channeled. So Michael Blake Reed would go unconscious, the Evergreens would come forth, and you could talk to the Evergreens, and then they would bring in people like James Joyce, or the spirits of them, of Joyce. So Joyce said he did not like electric media. He thought that reading and writing are the only sane, most valuable activity a civilized person could do. He did not think that movie life, telephone life, TV life, photography was equal to the skills or perceptions that reading and writing do. So he's very old-fashioned, stick in the mud, if that's what he really was when he was talking to me. And Wyndham Lewis comes in, the spirit of Wyndham Lewis, he starts to say, oh man, give me a word processor. I ain't going to limit myself to writing and reading. I'm going to use all the media, which he did. One of his girlfriends, I can't remember if he actually married her, but he had some children with her. Iris Berry, I think her name was. She was an artist, in London and that scene, part of the Bohemia. She left Lewis after a while. She went to New York City, and she joined the staff at the Museum of Modern Art and started the film program at MoMA. A woman started it, like in the 30s. And where's she coming from? Living with Lewis, she learned about a lot of newer media that other people just thought was not important.
Wow.
So look it up. Iris Berry, Barry. Very important person who had to put up with being pregnant from Lewis a couple of times.
So good. Wow. Yeah, you just really hit it on the head this morning. I mean, I know you always have, and I'm just here now, but just so on point, Bob. Yeah.
Very good. I'm glad you were here to witness it.
Yeah, it was really fucking amazing.
So we should get down to the important points here. Stop talking about Phineas Wake and get into what we like to talk about. So... let's see. Thank you, reading Phineas Wake form. You just heard the 38th episode with an extra plug by Bob to explain how we got here.